joined by the 8th director of the National Counterterrorism Center, a combat veteran, special forces operator, and all-around man's man, Joe Kent, joins me here for the third hour. I want to get right into it. The updates on the war. It's July 30th, 2026. The Middle East continues to be on fire. Since the last time we talked, Joe, we've lost four additional American service members that we know about. Their names, Tyler, Sarah, Angel, and Michael, all now deceased in a war of choice, ultimately manufactured by another country. Joe, where do things stand today? Hold on, I don't have audio. Oh. They say that you're muted, perhaps on your end. All right, we will get right back into it. I'm going to read the update again so that you guys know. Yemen's Houthis are attacking Saudi Arabia from Iraq. Sources say what that has led to is a Saudi Arabian strike in joint with the United States of America on Iran-backed militias in Iraq. Saudi Arabia and the U.S. have carried out strikes against Iran-backed militias in Iraq in a potential escalation, definite escalation in the Middle East conflict. CENTCOM says the strikes were against Iran-aligned terrorists that the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps directed to attack U.S. forces and Saudi energy infrastructure. Iraq's paramilitary PMF force, which is dominated by Iran-backed Shia militias, said at least 20 of its members had been killed in U.S.-Saudi strikes on its bases. What this is just the escalation of the regional war. This is why from day one I have maintained this has to stop immediately. This is why Joe has said the literal exact same thing, because this is a war of choice. The only choice that we have now is to get out of the region. We have to pull our troops, we have to pull our bases, and we have to take our people home, because not only does this not make sense, not only can we not win, the troops are not defensible. They are in metal sheds, not bunkers. They do not have bunkers, same quality the Israelis have, and they are getting blown up and they are dying. And it's not just the troops that are dying. There are over 500 casualties. We will not know the true reality of this for months, if not years to come, probably years. And this is all for one very specific reason. They do not want you to know how bad it is, because if you knew how bad it was, you would openly, peacefully, politically rise up against it and demand a change. And this is why from day one, I have maintained the same thing that Joe maintains. We must declare victory and go home. This is why it made zero sense to me with Operation Midnight Hammer. Operation Midnight Hammer broke my heart, because you have a situation where we're all right. We have Joe Kent joining us back live. I did my best there to kill a little bit of time. I do want to ask you, though, what's the state of things July 30th, 2026, as they stand?
Unfortunately, we're not in a good position at all. I would say even worse than the last time that we spoke. Like you said, we tragically lost some soldiers. We did our round of retaliation strikes that lasted for quite some time. There was back and forth between us and the Iranians. And then we attempted this, you know, I think a sort of an effort to have a ceasefire so we could get more space for the negotiations. But the Iranians basically said that they're not playing that. And they just restarted the hostilities by launching, you know, some cruise missiles back at one of our bases in Jordan. Since then, we did retaliatory strikes against one of the Iranian-backed militias inside Iraq. But there's some technical issues we can get into there. That is part of the Iraqi popular mobilization forces. That is part of the Iraqi military. So now we're doing strikes against basically the guys whose paychecks that we're paying inside of Iraq. Now, those guys, allegedly, they did take some strikes against Saudi, hit a couple of the different oil fields there. The Houthis said, no, that wasn't them. That was actually us. The Houthis also hit some of the oil fields. So we have the Houthis that are even more active now in shutting down the Bab al-Mandeb. The Straits of Hormuz continues to be strangled by the Iranians. So we're in a tough spot. I mean, President Trump has very limited options, unfortunately. His best hand still remains just to, I would say, to walk away from this whole thing and do the best he can here domestically to declare victory. But he's not doing that. And I fear that he's not doing that. And I fear that he is going to escalate this, because now that the Iranians have hit us once more, the Iranians aren't giving him what he needs. President Trump feels like he needs a, you know, a piece of paper, some kind of a formal agreement that says, you know, Iran's going to give him something so that he can say that he got a deal. I think the Iranians are aware of this, and they are not going to give him a deal. So right now, Iran has the upper hand, and whether or not Iran chooses to like kind of go for broke and to try and get us sucked into a larger conflict, or they just keep us, you know, strangled economically, that's kind of where things stand right now.
Powerful. Stay with us.
Has your water been acting a little suspicious lately? Does it taste like it took a wrong turn through a garden hose on the way to your kitchen? Well, don't panic. Introducing the Dual Carbon Gravity Water Filter,
Gee whiz, it sparkles like diamonds in the sunshine. No more of that yucky, murky tap stuff that tastes like it came straight from the old rusty pipes.
This water is so good.
It's the best ever.
I'm so glad. Fresh water is important.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Drink up.
We will.
Wow, that sure is a fine-looking water filter.
You know I'd never do you wrong, Lucy. This is top of the line, I tell ya.
Oh, I believe you.
Just you wait and see. I just know Ricky will love it.
I can't wait till he gets home.
He'll be so impressed.
Hi, honey. I'm home.
Come in the kitchen, dear. I want to show you something.
Oh, boy, that tastes great. You can always trust good old Alex.
Another satisfied customer.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Yeah, we ain't doing no Hasbara here today. It's the real news, the real information, the real guest that can deliver it all. We just had the powerful Michael Yon on for the prior hour. We have Joe Kent joining us now again here in the third hour with Andrew Wilson coming up. Joe, how are you doing today with all of the news?
I'm doing well. I wish we had a silver lining that we could put on this. Just unfortunately, we're just in a bad position. I hope President Trump, and I pray for him to get some clarity in all this and just realize that he's getting, bad advice from a lot of the people who encouraged him to get into this war. He tunes them out and he just says, hey, I'm going to come home. I'm going to bring the troops home. I think he should look at, the long arc of history. We've gotten out of other wars and temporarily it's been bad for presidents. But in the long run, when we got out of the wars, it ended up being the right thing to do, for a president. So I think if any president could sell this, it could potentially be President Trump. Unfortunately, I just have not seen him behave in a way that makes any sense to me recently. So I do fear that we're going to continue this escalation cycle.
Yeah. The question for me today is how are we going to acknowledge the reality? When is reality going to come knocking on the door? Because everything we've talked about for weeks, months at this point, a lot of people have, all the geopolitical analysts have, we're running low on munitions. The bases are heavily destroyed. The radars are out of commission. We've had a number of destroyed aircraft. I think the number is over 40 that have been taken out of commission. If we're going to stay in kind of the second phase of the war, and I'd define the first phase of the war as the 39 days of hell, the unleashing of the American military, the bombings over and over and over again, this second phase, this tit for tat, Joe, in your experience, or just what does your experience tell you about how much longer we can eke out this tit for tat thing before Trump either has to make major decision, ground invasion, whatever that would mean, perhaps further strikes, or does he back off? What do you think?
I think he's going to have to make a decision here pretty quickly. And we even heard President Trump say this himself when the MOU first came out and President Trump was justifying why he was going to give the MOU a chance. He said, hey, we're about 4 weeks away from economic bedlam. And so basically the predictions by a lot of the different oil experts say that we're going to hit a major crisis, not just here in the States, but globally in terms of, not just oil, not just gas, but things like fertilizer production, et cetera, here by the end of the summer, fall, winter timeframe. So he doesn't have that long, especially with the tight shot clock of the midterms approaching. So time is not on President Trump's side. The Iranians know that. And so for the Iranians to continue to do what they're doing right now, it's very advantageous for them. And so I think that they are more than content to sit back and say, there's no way we're going to give President Trump the deal that he wants. He killed our supreme leader. He brought all this upon us. We have to, basically for the sake of deterrence, but then also for vengeance, we have to bloody his nose. And I think the debate within Iran is, how do they bloody his nose? Do they do it all at once? Or do they sit back and let the economics and all the different wars start getting lit on fire and just the expansion of the war, the way that Zelensky and others are trying to combine these two fronts, thinking that that's somehow going to help us? That does not help us out at all. And I think the Iranians realize that. So short of President Trump realizing his best move is just to walk away, I do fear that here pretty soon he's going to have to make another decision. Does he get us further into this? I saw reports on Twitter. I don't know if they're accurate or not, but this sounds right to me that the Pentagon is saying, hey, boss, we can do another 10 to 15 days of heavy bombing, and that will take out all of Iran's missile capabilities. I really hope he doesn't even entertain that at this point, because the Iranians have shown that they have a very durable system that has been dispersed, that's hard for us to vector in on. Where would we be in the next 10 to 14 days? I think that's how you end up with something like a ground incursion, because President Trump's just going to get frustrated with the lack of results from this air campaign. And then I think, you know, at a bad moment where he's, you know, mad and wants to get something done, he signs off on some sort of a ground invasion of either one of the islands or, you know, Bandar Abbas, the port there that we've been kind of doing some shaping operations around through our air campaign. That's truly what I fear, because his options are just really limited right now. The idea that he's going to be able to, you know, choke them off economically. You know, I saw a lot of like happy talk about how the economic warfare that we're waging against Iran, you know, that's going to be the final nail in the coffin. It's like, look, these guys have been under some form of heavy sanctions since 1979. There's not much more that we can do to them. And as a matter of fact, the dollar is even weaker because of everything we did in Ukraine. And there's just all these alternative workarounds for them to sell their oil on the market right now. The Iranians know they have time on their side. And I think they know that they have more options than we do, regardless of, you know, how we want to beat our chests here in America.
Right. I just think the West has made too many like key assumptions, they would say, in like intelligence gathering. Right. We've made too many key assumptions. Oh, like they're about to fall. We're about to beat them. They're about to be out of missiles. And the reality is, I think it's demonstrated our intelligence on the ground has not been good enough. It really hasn't been, because they've had the ability to continue the missile strikes, the drone strikes. Trump can say it's obliterated, it's gone. But there's a reality that our ships are parked very far off the coast in the blockade. Because if we got any closer, they'd be under severe threat. Now, there can be a debate whether those are Chinese anti-ship missiles, whether the Iranians might have those. The reality is they have a win condition called the Strait of Hormuz. We don't really have a win condition besides taking over their country. And I think it's key. You mentioned earlier our key allies, our strongest allies, Zelensky and Netanyahu, visiting for the state funeral of Lindsey Graham. I guess he was literally in the rotunda. And while they're there, Netanyahu makes a statement. A reporter asks him, are there any cracks in the relationship between you and Trump? He says, no, it's as strong as a wall of granite, which is just, to me, it's pretty terrifying, because if it's as strong as a wall of granite, it sounds like he's probably going to get what he wants. And then Zelensky comes over here and kind of makes the same implied threat that made Trump outraged when he visited and sat down with Trump and JD, which is, you have big ocean. You don't feel pain now, but you'll feel pain later. So all these vague threats, veiled threats, it's simply put, both Netanyahu and Zelensky need a wider conflict in order to stay in power. This is just a reality. Zelensky is a dictator. They don't have elections there anymore. He openly says, we don't have it. It's wartime. We don't have an election. But in the Constitution, it states they have to have it even during wartime. Netanyahu, of course, wanted by his own government, not just the ICJ, wanted by Israel for crimes. They will not be able to prosecute him as long as he remains in power. Just how do you see kind of this new really axis of evil forming, man? I don't want to be a part of it.
I don't either. And there's no advantage to America for being a part of any of these conflicts. I have yet to see any of the hawks, any of the, you know, Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, neocons, or, you know, people who are just cheerleading this war or the Ukraine war, explain what is actually in it for the American people, and explain it in a very, very clear and concise way that makes sense to your average American. If you say that we have to, like, you know, win over the Donbass, otherwise Putin is going to roll into Paris by Christmas and then he'll be in New York City, you know, by New Year's, like, that just doesn't make any sense. It's nonsense. Right. This war has been going on now. It's been a bloodbath for well over, you know, we're coming up on our third year. So, you know, the whole thing there is just completely and totally ridiculous. We've wasted our munitions. We're now provoking essentially a nuclear war. It's already a heavy economic war with the Russians. This has weakened the dollar. It's put us further in debt. So there's no benefit for the American people. And now Zelensky, because he knows that he can kind of expand his war that was, you know, kind of out of the spotlight for a while and not really popular Republicans in general. Now he can try and wrap it into the Iran war that, although not, that war is not popular here either, he sees it as getting more attention, and rightfully so. It's getting more attention than his war. So he's trying to now link them. And so are a lot of the neocon backers. And again, for the neocons that say, go in there and finish the job. Number one, they can't define what finishing the job in Iran actually means, because most of them have never served a day, or they just want us involved in this thing endlessly and they won't just come out and say it. So they like that right slogan a lot more.
No, that's key.
Or
That's key. They say, yeah. They'll even say they're anti-war. They'll say, hey, but it's not a war yet. Joe, in your experience, you've done like 11 or 12 combat deployments, of course, Special Forces operator. What does that mean when you hear that? What do you think? What do you say?
I've always said, like, please explain to me how that works. If you say finish the job, come up with a plan, tell me how that works. Number one, how we're going to do it and what it accomplishes at the end. Even if these guys got what they wanted, if the entire regime fell today inside of Iran, that would be an absolute disaster. And I don't say that as a fan of the revolutionary Islamic Republican Guard inside of Iran. I say that just in terms of just the facts on the ground. You have a country of 90 million people, multiple different ethnic groups, awash with weapons and war right now. If that government did fall, it would be Libya on steroids. That's directly connected to Europe. You'd have a massive migration issues. You'd have blowback terrorism issues. It would be an absolute nightmare and a disaster. So none of this is very well thought through. The Israelis have thought this through, and the Israelis have deployed their very, very powerful lobby here in America to make the case that we need to continue to try to destabilize and put Iran into a state of chaos, because the Israelis actually thrive in chaos. They think as long as their rivals and their enemies are in a chaotic state, then they can't consolidate power and they can't come pose a threat to them. That's Israeli doctrine. That's not American doctrine. We're very much against that. And again, this all goes back to just the fundamental question. Like, if any of this happens, what is in it for the United States of America? We heard the whole nonsense in the Iraq war. Like, oh, it's going to be a great deal for America. We're going to get the oil. Like, none of that ever happened. Trump's trying to make that happen right now, kind of. But based on what's taking place, the way that the war has now expanded into Iraq and just Iraqi domestic politics, I don't think that's going to happen there either. But none of this benefits the American people. And this is at a time when most people have a hard time filling up a full tank of gas and paying for groceries. So this war is not in our best interest. Expanding the war is not in our best interest. And for the president to think about anything else and to listen to people that are explaining to him, like, you know, all these complicated plans for how we finish the job and how this is really some sort of a checkmate on China, et cetera, he needs to tune those people out, and he needs to listen to Donald Trump in 2016 when he spoke plainly and clearly about what was in the best interest for the American people. And if he starts thinking that way, I think he could still save this entire situation, but I fear he's not.
Yeah, when you love somebody and they're drinking themselves to death, you tell them to stop drinking. You don't tell them their liver has magical powers and they can fly to the moon. And that's kind of the situation that I think that we're in now. And here's the thing. People, he himself, Trump has come after us and attacked us personally. He's called my father fried and low IQ, among other things. The reality is, do you want people to tell you the truth or do you want people to lie to you? And ultimately, they can lie to you. It can feel good. It doesn't feel good to the families of the American soldiers that die overseas. And there is no explanation. There is no proof that you can give to say, oh, well, it is what it is. It's a war of choice. The strait wasn't closed before February 28th. There weren't missiles flying back and forth. We initiated that, and we got to pull out now. I think this is also key. I want to bring it up. I just want to get your take on it, because it seems to be unclear, but maybe you've heard more. Of course, I have way better sources than I could hope to have. Egypt downplays drone strike as fears grow for Suez Canal. It was reported last night, this is July 30th, this is written, that an explosion occurred aboard two gas tankers at the port. Reuters said this is a drone attack. Well, the New York Times this morning quoted two Iranian officials who said the strike was intended to demonstrate that if Iran chooses to escalate the situation, this is key, global energy supplies and shipping could be hit much harder. So now we've got one choke point, Strait of Hormuz, two choke points, Strait of Hormuz, Bab el-Mandeb, now three potentially with the Suez Canal. Joe, what's your take on this?
Yeah, this is another case where it's very easy for the Iranians to inflict a lot of pain with very little resources. The Iranians have geography working out in their advantage. Obviously, the Strait of Hormuz is in their backyard. They have powerful allies they've invested in with the Houthis and the Bab el-Mandeb. And so now, in powerful allies in Iran, powerful allies of Hezbollah. So right now, in order to basically continue to frustrate and choke off the supply of energy to the world, they just need to keep up the pressure in the Straits of Hormuz, which is actually fairly simple for them to do with drones and ballistic missiles. Bab el-Mandeb, they've got their friends, the Houthis, that are doing that right now, and then pushing out into the Suez Canal. It's just a matter of them either launching from, you know, their home soil, which they're more than capable of doing, or having the Houthis do it for them, or having the Iraqi militias do it for them, or having Hezbollah do it for them. And so what the Iranians are trying to do right now, I think, is two things. They're trying to chip away at the supply of world energy, because that's going to hurt all the countries that are supporting the coalition that's supporting us against them. But also, they are trying to fragment our relationship with all of the different Sunni Arab states there in the Middle East. They're trying to basically say it's not worth your while to be directly tied to the Americans. If you are directly tied to the Americans, we are going to inflict pain upon you. And right now, what's taking place in Iraq, we're seeing that in a very big way. Iraq is ran by the Shia majority there, many of whom have close ties to the Iranian government. The Iraqis are caught in between. You know, Zaidi, the prime minister, was in Washington, D.C., meeting with President Trump, and then he went to Tehran. So he's very much trying to, you know, make sure his country doesn't get dragged and sucked into this. The Iranians had their proxies start doing strikes into Saudi Arabia, knowing that we would respond. So us and the Saudis then responded. And so now you have Americans and Saudis, Sunni Saudis, killing Shia militiamen in Iraq. So that's another way that they can start chipping away at the alliance that we have with Iraq. There's a lot of other dynamics there at play, but basically the Iranians are trying to inflict a cost on all of our allies within the region. And if you look at Kuwait, if you look at Bahrain, you look at, to a certain extent, Qatar as well, a lot of the countries that have been very closely aligned with us, Jordan most recently, the countries that have been the most closely aligned with us are starting to feel a lot of pain, and they're going to start feeling a lot of internal pressure, their leaders are, from their people, from their parliaments, to say, hey, maybe we need to tell the Americans, like, hey, we love you, but you can't base here, and you most certainly can't launch attacks here against Iran, because it's really just not worth it anymore for us. Because if they keep hitting along the Red Sea, they keep hitting the Suez Canal, or even just occasionally doing it, that frustrates that shipping and makes the insurance premiums shoot up. That takes away a good deal of the money that the Egyptians receive, because the Egyptians, they have tourism, they have some energy, but the Suez Canal is a huge moneymaker for them. They're going to start losing money because of what the Houthis are doing further south down the Red Sea. But an occasional drone or an occasional attack on any of those ports on the Med side, that's going to take away a lot of the Egyptian government's revenue as well. So this is the Iranian strategy, and they don't need a lot of resources basically to continue to inflict pain upon us. This is where time is very much on the Iranian side, and it's not on our side at all.
Right. Let's just look out, because months, years plus into the future, ultimately people that support these operations, if you ask them, hey, you say, hey, point to a calendar for me, if you could. What day is this going to end? You know, whereabouts? And, you know, just tell me like the gradual recovery of the oil market, the fertilizer, all the supplies and goods that flow through these vital waterways that are choked off. You know, how long is it going to take us to rebuild our bases, rebuild our capability in the region with the radar and all of that? And they're not going to be able to give you a timeline, because their position is it has to continue forever. Like, that's what they have to defend, right? If you're defending the operations right now, you have to say that we're able to do this in the region forever. I think it was demonstrated before this happened, just by the will of the American people, Trump winning a referendum against the Iraq war in 2016, that Americans were done with this sunk cost fallacy. It's like the last day I was in the casino at Vegas, I was staying at a hotel Jake Shields put me in. I had like $300, and I was like, I didn't gamble the whole time I was here. And then I lost all the money. But you don't stay in the casino and go back over and over and over again and take a mortgage out on your house because, you know, this time the lucky Chinese dragon is going to spin on the wheel and give you what you want. It just doesn't work that way. What do you say about kind of the sunk cost fallacy, all this?
I mean, that's what this is. And this should have been our lesson, the lesson that we learned from the war on terror, but then, you know, also the lesson we should have learned from the Vietnam War is that, like, it doesn't get better if you keep gambling. You can't drink yourself sober, whatever analogy you want to use. The fact that you have invested a ton of resources, a ton of lives into a certain problem, if you're not getting the result that you want, that doesn't mean you double down. That does not mean that more resources, more bombing campaigns, more troops, another surge, finishing the job, air quotes, like none of that is going to work. We have enough data to support that. Now, the case can be made, do we try something different? I would even say the way that we're fighting this war right now, if I was in support of us fighting this war and us actually going after and taking down the Iranian regime, I would basically have the same advice that I have right now. We should get out of the region. Why are we running low on interceptors. If those reports are true, I don't know. But if we're running low on interceptors, that's because we've been firing an exorbitant amount of interceptors, trying to defend bases that are getting hammered, bases that we can't put soldiers at anymore, bases that we can't really launch significant attacks from anymore. So what are we doing? Just the thing is, we get so stuck in this loop where we can't give up any ground. We can't retreat because then we're going to say, oh, the Iranians are going to claim that they pushed us out of the region.
They have
and that's
us
gonna be
hostage.
A major victory for them.
They have us hostage, not the other way around. It's like, yeah, we got them right.
Precisely.
Where we got them right where we want them. We're tied up in a chair, essentially, right in front of them.
Exactly. And we're burning through really precious munitions. We've also burned through precious lives defending these bases that may have served a purpose at one point in time, but now they don't. I mean, there's a basic principle in, you know, any kind of infantry tactics. If you can't shoot from where you're at, you have to maneuver and move positions. And that's essentially where we're at right now with our bases. But we've got our basically concrete around our feet, and we say that we can't leave these bases, but that's all self-imposed. We could leave these bases. We could get our troops out of the region. We could get our vessels, you know, away from the Straits of Hormuz and try a different tactic, but we just refuse to do that. And that is the sunk cost fallacy. That is the gambler's fallacy. And look, CENTCOM, the Central Command, they have been notorious for this. It didn't surprise me at all to see the report where Cooper said, you know, hey, boss, I just need 15 more days of another bombing campaign. I mean, CENTCOM commanders for decades now have said, I need one more troop surge. I need one more big push into, you know, this city or that city, and we'll turn the tide in Iraq. We'll turn the tide in Afghanistan. It's the exact same thing that we're seeing here right now. We have got to break free from that. We have enough knowledge in the U.S. government that we should not be making these same mistakes all over again.
Yeah, I think Colin Powell said not to make a Air Force General Chief of Staff because you need a soldier on the ground, need that type of experience. And when people think you can just do a bombing campaign and win, bombing campaigns didn't win World War II. Like, that's just reality. Right. It was men on the ground that won World War II. And when people like to draw these comparisons, like, we have space age weapons and they're cavemen and they can't do anything. Well, that's not true. Sure, we have space age weapons. We have tons of stuff. They have the Shahid, and the Shahid costs 15 G's. It doesn't cost $4 million. And that asymmetry, that advantage they have when it comes to how much their stuff costs versus ours, that's enough to keep them in a fight that long term we can't wage. And I think the reality, the facts on the ground are right there. In closing, Joe Kent, what do you want people to know about the sadly coming escalation and what they should be prepared to see?
Look, I think it's now is a time, if you supported President Trump before, I think it's a time to get very, very vocal. I think we need to be as vocal as we can on social media platforms like this, but also calling your senators, calling your congressmen, calling the White House switchboard, and just telling them to get out of this situation, get our troops out of the region, and say that you ended the war. That's going to provide the political space where President Trump feels comfortable that he can actually say that. And the voices that say, thank you for getting us out of this war, will outweigh the voices that will criticize him and, you know, say he cowered or say we lost or that type of stuff. So I think the more that President Trump hears that people just want him to pull out of this war and he sees that can be a political win, I think that's the most important thing. Because if we say that, oh, you know, Trump, you broke this, now you got to fix it, all he's going to do is get a menu of options from CENTCOM, from the Pentagon, that are going to say, you know, more bombing campaigns, and that's how you slowly slide into putting boots on the ground. Because the bombing campaigns, just simply, they're not going to work. They're going to be spectacular. They're going to make for great highlight footage. We're going to be able to go say we bombed, you know, X, Y, and Z different things. But then at some point, his generals are going to come to him and say, hey, like, if you want to keep doing this, we're actually going to have to take ground. And then we're going to take major losses. And then we are going to be locked into this thing. He's got a narrow window. It's tragic that we lost those troops, but we fired back. We took our retaliation. He's got a window right now where he could end this thing. This is as good of a time as I think he's going to get. If he doesn't take advantage of this window right now to get our troops out, we're going to be locked into further escalation. He needs to start listening to different people. You know, you talked about the intelligence picture. Unfortunately, he just hasn't been listening to the intelligence picture. Our intelligence picture as to what the Iranians would do, it's been pretty accurate for the entire time that I was in the administration. The president, unfortunately, just chose to listen to a lot of the pundits, a lot of the talking heads, and a lot of the neocons who hated his guts before this war, who got him into this war. He needs to tune them out. He needs to bring in other voices, but just have the moral courage and the political strength to pull all of our troops out of the region.
Powerful intel. Thank you for your time. Joe Kent, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back after these messages.
New grape flavor bovine colostrum gummies. Yeah, baby. Yeah, these are the best. Support your gut with these great gummies. Get yours now. All-new Groovy Grape Bovine Colostrum Gummies have arrived. They're sweet, they're groovy, and they're ready to roll. Don't miss out. Get yours today. Oh, yeah, baby. The globalists are poisoning your family. Fight back with superfood gummies, vitamins, powerhouse probiotics, plus an organic fruit and veggie blast. For the resistance, get them now. Now that's how you stick it to the globalists. Tastes like pure victory, baby. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
We have to fight for our sovereignty. We have to fight to protect, again, what God gave us, which, I mean, our health is one of the biggest things. We're all, at this point, middle-aged. We're trying to have families. And I think with the transhumanist agenda, there is a little bit of a psyop afoot. Where,
oh, I've said that. But the other day when I had you guys coming on, I said, we're doing something about what we can take control of. Mm. And then the last few years, Joe Rogan, one time at dinner, goes, about 3 years ago, you're fat, your own enemy. He does that to guests. He was like Theo Vaughn, too. Get off that Prozac, you idiot. And people were mad at him. That's tough love Joe does. And he's there with Sean Johnson, the Navy SEAL guy that I'd known for years, wasn't really friends. Sean goes, fine, I'll train you. I'll meet you every morning. And I said, all right, let's do it. And then I lost like 70 pounds, and I kind of halfway cut back and gained back 10. But now I'm back to where I was. I'm going to go even lower. But the whole point is that Joe goes, you know, you're your own worst enemy. You think the globalists are going to kill you. You're killing yourself. And so that's where Masterpiece comes in. That's where doing all this comes in. I mean, this is real, folks. Methylene blue works. Bovine colostrum works. This, getmasterpiece.com. The Masterpiece is unbelievable.
We are at a crossroads with the survival of the human species. And the people that have all the resources and all have spelled that out very clearly to us. And the things that they are putting inside of our body to complete that mission. You got to get out. The fact of the matter is, zeolite, which is one of the main ingredients of Masterpiece, has been proven in all ways to remove every toxin that it's looked at grabbing. It performs, that's why it's called the Master Binder.
But yours is different.
It's completely different.
Because it doesn't just pull stuff, it brings in the key sea minerals.
Yes, absolutely. So any way that you would actually test Masterpiece out, which would be like its pH, its molecular composition, its molecular ratio, if it's isotonic and whatnot, it is identical to blood plasma. Talking about marine plasma, sea plasma, minerals, it is the same molecular composition of as your blood profile. And so why does that matter? Blood is life. When you are grabbing the problem with our bodies, with the toxins in there, which is disrupting how our bodies perform on every level, it's literally made our bodies mineral deficient. Toxins take the place of minerals. So when the Masterpiece is carrying in minerals, when it takes a toxin, it's giving the perfect minerals right there at that time. That's why everyone that looks at the testing, whether it's our hair tissue mineral analysis practitioners, our blood testers, which we've done three different independent third-party labs doing different blood testing, they've never seen results like
this. Yeah, so regular zeolite just pulls out bad stuff, but doesn't replace it. This is zeolite with a good thing, pulls out bad, it goes bloop, good.
Yeah. Our bodies are magical if you get the poisons out.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on The Alex Jones Show.
We want a positive future. We want to be able to have children. We want to be able to have land, have homes, have farm animals, have friends and family that we love and hold very dearly and cherish so much. But the reality is famine. The reality is global war. The reality is technocracy. The reality is mass migration. Here's the thing. If you're awake to that, if you're awake to the problem, just like we talked about with Joe Kent with the alcoholic analogy, then you're able to recover from it. But as long as you continue to live in the delusion and to eat the Tic Tacs that the system gives you, you will never truly be able to make progress. And here's the thing. It is a wonderful thing to have disagreements, to debate things, but you cannot deny reality. And the reality is we are at full and total war. It's not just a war with missiles and drones and people in the Middle East. It's not just a war against Russia and Ukraine, a proxy war, the West versus Eurasia, Russia, China, you name it. It's not just the South China Sea. It is also the mass influx and inflow of third world populations that are from these destabilized and destroyed regions in the global South that are a direct consequence of the wars that we fight in large part for greater Israel. So that is the key. That is the thing to realize. Now, of course, not all the mass migration is a result of that. Of course, we've covered George Soros since literally before I was alive. He is a huge part of that, as well as the leftist NGOs, USAID in the past, it's just been reformed to a new organization, and many other. And we're going to go to a report from my father talking about the conquering, the taking over of Spain. If we can go back to the video really quick before we go to the report, I just want to show people, okay? This is not the families. It's not the starving grandmother with the children. These are young men in their 20s, their 30s. These are combat age men. These are dudes coming over to conquest. They are coming over on a crusade. They are coming over on a takeover mission, and they are going to subsume Europe and take it over because they come from a region that is so destroyed and so destabilized, they don't know if they're going to get food or water the next day. You know what happens when you give those people welfare and resources? They have about a dozen kids. Okay, and this isn't something as to where it's like, oh, the Europeans don't have children anymore and their birth rate is so much higher. It's literally all because of the society they come from versus the society that we live in. Okay, we live in the lap of luxury. We live in a world where basically everybody, well, not in America, but in the West and Europe, a lot of these people are literate. A lot of these people are educated. A lot of these people are used to a high standard of living combined with civil rights. Ain't no civil rights in Bangladesh. Ain't no civil rights in Singapore. Ain't no civil rights in Sudan. Ain't no civil rights in Somalia. They just come over here and it's literally like getting transported to heaven on earth. They have about 12 kids with the government's help. And then they implement their own culture, their own religion, because why would they assimilate? They never had to. They never could. So go ahead and play my father's report about the takeover of Spain.
Globalist controlled replacement migration directed by the UN has gone into high gear. There's over 30 million Muslims and other invaders out of the Middle East and North Africa already in Europe, destroying it. And now over 3 million military aged men in the last 5 years have come into Spain alone. And the new communist government announced this year that they're going to let unlimited numbers come in. Anybody that gets there gets free welfare, even more than citizens, everything paid for, with up to 50% unemployment for those under 30 in Spain. They are collapsing the country by design. And posted in the same post, you see footage of what was just landing yesterday, and more videos are coming in today. And they are landing and they are doing throat slitting signs. They're screaming and yelling. They have no possessions other than debit cards the UN gives them, the NGOs, the Soros operations, Catholic charities, Jewish charities, the same one that Mayorkas used to run, same NGOs that flooded us are flooding Europe, and the Spanish government has said the doors are open. And once again, into Spain, they flood the rest of Europe. Remember, the Muslims conquered Spain for over 500 years, and that started the Crusades to kick them out. So this is globalist, UN, communist, BlackRock-funded systems allied with the Islamic globalist third world invasion. Unbelievable. And it's just going to get worse and worse till Europe totally collapses. Germany shut down their last nuclear reactors, shut down all their coal power plants. Mercedes can't even get energy to build cars. The U.S. blew up the Nord Stream pipeline that supplied half of Europe's gas, or 45% of it. I mean, this is economic warfare against us all.
Should go ahead and pause it right there.
Someone insulated here in the U.S.
Should go ahead and pause it right there. We'll go back to it. Here's the thing. To all my Muzzy-hating, hell yeah, bomb Iran, bomb Middle East, kill them all. To all people out there that feel that way, you actually want these migrants over here. You're rooting for them to come. That's what you support with your foreign policy. And that's, oh, that's not true. I deny that. I hate the migrants. I don't want them in my country. Well, you support the wars that lead to destabilization, mass famine in their countries, and then they come to the West. It's called problem, reaction, solution. You can't ignore it. You can't deny it. There it is on tape. Caught on tape. Problem, reaction, solution right there. That's your mass migration. That's your consequence of famine. That's your consequence of war. That's your consequence of general destabilization that allows for those NGOs and leftist groups to do things like this under cover of night, under cover of darkness, ultimately under the cover of blood, because when there's 1.5 million dead people in the Ukraine-Russia war, when there's thousands of dead people and dozens of dead American soldiers in the Iran war, people pay more attention to that than they do of hordes of military age men coming into their country. Do you see the wives? Do you see the children? Do you see Nana on bended knee? No, you do not. You see guys looking like they could be in uniform tomorrow. And they probably will be. This is the classic Rome scenario. We're probably going to do this as well. Michael Yon, Mike Adams, Matt Bracken talk about this. The idea that our military would be of native stock for much longer is very, very ridiculous because, hey, these elite authoritarian governments that want to track, trace, and control us, they can just get Muhammad, Abdul, and Ganesh to do it just fine. And that'll be great. It'll be liberal, and everyone will sign off on it, and the 90-year-old boomers will pat themselves on the back, and you know, then they'll probably get strangled by the Haitian orderly or something at the nursing home. It is what it is. It's a beautiful system. We are the world, right? We are the world. Keep playing it. Play the footage of the people running around. We are the world. We are the children. We are the military-age men who come to kill you. We are invading your country. You will speak Arabic. You will speak Pakistani. It is time to be liberal, liberal, liberal. It is time to be liberal. And that's literally where we are. I'm not joking. It's just like the people that did like the we're going to get your children thing. And of course, like we're going to vaccinate you thing, like the Dr. Fauci Hitler worship songs and all of that. They need to write the songs about the mass migration. And I'm calling for people on the right to do that right now, because that's what happens when you support these wars. This is what you support. My little migrant buddies from all the wars that I support, they're coming to be my friend and rape my wife. And that's where we are. So I see my dad on the phone there. What's going on there? Crew, can you tell me what's up there? Maybe he wants to join us. All right, we're going to be joined by my dad shortly. It's just key to point this out. Day over day over day, this has not just started happening. This has happened for decades, and we got our own version of this on our southern border, okay? I want you to keep in mind, Joe Biden immediately told people, when I am president, immediately surge the border. It is widely reported that over 20 million people came here, many of them not from Mexico, not from Latin America, not from South America, but from the Middle East, from Africa, from Asia, from Eurasia, from West Asia, from places like where these people are coming from. And it's literally like dealing with Martians. All right. There's a Mexican, wears a sombrero, wants to do some work, whatever. Right. Catholic, Christian background. This is like unheard of stuff that you've never seen before. It's coming for you in your backyard right now. And anyone that denies it denies the societal wide program. So we're being joined by my father, Alex Jones. Dad, how are you doing?
Rex, I just wanted to give people some background here, and we can take this clip from me live on the show and add a year ago and 6 months ago, the president, the communist leader of Spain said, we're legalizing 3 million North African, mainly Muslims, military age men, 90%+ commit mass crime. We're legalizing them, and anybody else that can get here is going to be legal from here on out. So literally hundreds of thousands a month are hitting. This all happened just yesterday and is ongoing today. We'll play the Fox News cast in a minute. But I noticed when I shot a report about this earlier, I was flooded with bots on X saying, I'm making it up. Show my proof. This is AI. This is not real. Spain was invaded by the Moors, same people out of North Africa, conquered for 500+ years. They took over 2 million women as slaves, sex slaves. La Reconquista took hundreds of years to retake Spain. Then it expanded into the Middle East. The Crusades came out of the La Reconquista, the reconquering of Spain. So again, this is the left literally telling us none of this is happening when they're running the actual invasion. These are all military age men. They are literally there to rape and kill and do whatever they want. They're all signed up for welfare. The Spanish government says that they're all legal. They want to replace the Spanish with these people, that these are better. This is what the left votes for. This is who they are. And this is the reality of what we are facing. So I want to play this Fox newscast with the same NGOs running this, are the same NGOs running this around the world, running the attacks and the invasion that we're witnessing here as well. So this is what we're facing. This is the reality. Face it. This is the globalist attack. This is one of the main ways the UN said they'd use migration flows, the UN said that they would use these other systems to do this over and over and over and over again. And so this is where we are right now in the year 2026. And people just need to get with the program and realize this is happening and just get out of their denial. They said, we'll use migrant flows, viruses, and wars to do it, collapse the world economy, bring in the central bank digital currencies. That's the plan for the entire West. We need Crusades 2.0 just to secure our republics and kick these people out now. Here's the Fox newscast, and then we'll take this report, and we'll put in the Spanish government admitting this invasion plan, and the rest of them posted to X and Rumble, and then you, the Paul Revere's, will share it. Here's the Fox News report. Back to you, Rex.
Thank you, Dad.
Really wild video here. Chaos at the border of Spain's North African enclave in Morocco. This is a city called Ceuta. You're watching as thousands of migrants break through the fence and completely overwhelm the border police. Their video showing huge groups of people, mostly young military age guys, cramming into inflatable tubes or arriving on shore another way. Some of them wading in the water as they break through the gates to get to the other side. Sandra, this is reminiscent of kind of what we saw during the open border during the Biden administration through 2021, 2024, kind of similar to what we saw in Del Rio back in 2021. The socialist agenda, their platform literally says they want to abolish borders, abolish immigration enforcement, have complete freedom of movement. This is what it looks like in another country if they get what they want. Notice there is no resistance from the government whatsoever. These people are coming in without any obstruction. And if people don't know, Spain has a very left-wing government. Earlier this year, they did a big amnesty program for over a million illegal immigrants living in the country. They had 1.3 million illegal immigrants apply for that amnesty program between April and June. So that's what we call a pull factor, Sandra. They're looking for something like that. They know if they can just get their foot in the country, maybe someday that left-wing government will do another amnesty program. And you were just reading some of the wires. The locals want an emergency declaration. It sounds like
the ministry is saying no. They will not deploy military to the border.
Apparently, they don't think this is an emergency. I mean, look at this. This is a total free-for-all.
It does feel like we are looking at a few years ago when you're reporting at the border here in the United States. This is happening right now. This story is breaking right now. And you're not just talking about hundreds, thousands of migrants are pouring over the borders as we speak.
Yeah, and again, I mean, just look here. Do you see any women or children? I mean, most people would call these folks so-called asylum seekers. These are all young guys just flooding into the country and overwhelming what, if any, border there is. It looks like there's just kind of a small barbed wire fence or something like that. But you can see the Spanish government has caught completely off guard here, and you have thousands of these men. I mean, it literally looks like you often hear the word invasion, but it literally looks like one here. Look at that. I mean, you see the border fence there. They're all just going around it. And again,
the head of Spain's civil guard is calling this absolute chaos. In a brand new interview, he said, quote, it's not possible to give precise numbers, but there are thousands of migrants crossing right now. He added that the border has totally collapsed. Quote, unquote.
Yeah, it certainly looks like it. And for folks who don't know where this is a small Spanish city, autonomous in North Africa. It's actually in Morocco, but it does have Spanish autonomy. It's called Ceuta. So this isn't on the mainland of Spain. But these images, we've been looking at them on social media all morning. It's just stark to see that there is no resistance whatsoever. I mean, at least in Del Rio back in 2021, when those 20,000 Haitians were crossing the river, similar images to this, you had some border patrol there. You had Texas DPS there trying to stop them. Here in Spain, there is absolutely nothing stopping these folks from wading ashore and climbing the fences. And Sandra, look at that in the background. I mean, there are thousands upon thousands of these men just flooding the country.
Yeah. Yeah. So they say, oh, it looks like an invasion. It looks like one. It is one. Like, you have to be objectively real with what you're seeing and what people are saying there. Obviously, those men are not there to, you know, find a loaf of bread for their children that are right behind them or for their nana that's right there. They're there to take over. And you know what? They have the right to do that because nobody's stopping them. Look, the police are holding open the gate. Click on that. Let's make that a little bit bigger, please. The police are holding the gate open for the invading migrants. And once you reach this level in your society, look at them in their uniforms. Oh, I bet you said something about COVID. They threw you in jail. Oh, I bet. Well, maybe not Spain because they're pretty critical of Israel, but in other EU nations where they do the same thing, you talk about the migrants, they put you in jail. Talk about Israel, they put you in jail. But they'll open the door for people that have paid nothing into your country, have no tie to your country, no historical claim to be there. And they will say, not only do they have the same rights as you, they have more rights than you. They're better people than you because they've had to suffer more. And it's your fault, white person, that they've had to suffer more. It's not the fault of the evil world Jewry or the world government or the transnational capital that runs everything. It's certainly not. It's your fault. It's your fault because these are your nations and they did somehow slavery or something. So you're bad. Let's just leave at the door the fact that these are literally the people from North Africa, the Arab people that pioneered and ran the slave trade. All right. And like my dad just said, conquered Spain for 400 years. This is the same thing. Talk about Michael Yon. Really the same thing. Talk about with Joe Kent. The historical patterns, the cycles, they just happen over and over and over again. And there seems to be no stopping them, even in this information age where, hey, everybody watching this right now knows what I'm saying is true and they're able to follow it. But people in these countries, this is why we have to appreciate the First Amendment here in America, they truly do not know. They have been so co-opted, so cowed, so propagandized. They've been taught that this is normal. And hey, in 1 to 2 generations, those countries won't exist anymore. Do we want the same fate for ourselves here in America? Absolutely not. The migrant problem under Joe Biden, completely outrageous. Over 20 million people came here, surged the border. The government will never pull work permits, pull their ability to buy a car, pull their ability to get a mortgage, buy a house, do whatever. They'll never touch any of that because, as Trump says, he's got friends in big ag and friends in hospitality. And just like the Epstein files, when Trump's friends are going to get hurt, he doesn't actually do the thing he promised to do. And I'm going to be talking to Andrew Wilson, who kind of hangs his hat on the fact that, hey, you know, we're at net negative migration. I'll kind of take that as a trade for the Iran war. That's not a war. I think that's a bit of a ridiculous position. We're going to get into that and so much more coming up. I did a stream with him 7 weeks into the war. Some predictions, I believe, have aged like milk, but I'd like to see where he actually stands. And I want to give him full credit, of course, accomplished debater. You may have seen him, definitely have seen him across the internet. He'll be joining me in the next hour to discuss all things Iran war, his positions, my positions, where we stand. Now, before we get into all that, I do want to remind you, this is a 100% viewer, listener, created, supported, funded broadcast. We only stay on air when you go to thealexjonesstore.com and also 1776.rx.com to get either the amazing ivermectin, fimbendazole, or the amazing supplements, apparel, t-shirts, knives, water filtration, survival gear, combat gear that we have available at thealexjonesstore.com. If you have loved our turmeric, phenomenal antioxidant support over the years, you name it, we now have it in a tincture form. This is very cool. It's available for you at a big discount right now. Of course, we've got the methylene blue. This is always available for you. Over 80% reorder rate. Incredibly popular stuff. We've got the t-shirts. We've got the Nixon apparel. Look at that right there. Ultimate turmeric with ginger root and black pepper. That's what you want. Available at thealexjonesstore.com. We've also got that phenomenal shower head water filter. Filters out over 99% of chlorine and over 94% of lead. You want to get that for your house, your family, very important. You want to be around clean water, not dirty water, and we live in such a toxic environment. That's why we sell supplements and other things that can help attenuate those things and help improve your life. We believe in a 360 win. We're not going to ask you for things without giving you something back. That's called, you know, law of equivalent exchange. We want you to get high-quality supplements, apparel, t-shirts, you name it, at thealexjonesstore.com. And we also want you to get phenomenal products from 1776.rx, which is also very important. Bigly is very, very cool. Not only are they a supplement compounder, not only do they do apparel, they're also getting into the online compounding and stuff like that, which is available at 1776.health. Of course, they have nurse practitioners and doctors there ready to talk to you should you need ivermectin or fimbendazole. That really is the place to get it if you do want to support this operation, which is really important. We got a crew here. We got a big office. We got big guests. We got big streams. It is a phenomenal 4-hour show, literally 6 days a week, that my dad does for you. I'm very appreciative to be here in his stead while he's on vacation. And he's having a good time also putting out hard-hitting reports and doing the broadcast every single day. But in order for all of us to remain functional and stay in the fight, we do need you to support our sponsors. Support Bigly. Go to 1776rx.health. Very important to check out that ivermectin and fimbendazole if you are interested in that. We got about 5 minutes left. I just want to cover this really quick because people deny history, and this is just reality. Why have so many neo-Nazis rallied to Ukraine's cause? So go ahead and just do overhead shot, please. I thought it was key, and I was going to get to it. He kind of beat me to the jump on it. When my dad was interviewing Michael Yon, and they were talking about this stuff, and they were talking about the Canadian, the Canadian Parliament gave a standing ovation to this man that apparently fought the Russians during World War II. And of course, we all know what that means, when in reality, this guy was a member of a Ukrainian-created division of the Waffen-SS. All right, literally committing mass murder for Hitler, killing Poles and Ukrainians in the region of Bandera, right? And Zelensky and Stephen Trudeau put a medal around his neck and called him a good boy and say a good person, and they clap for him like 5 times. It kind of reminds me of when Netanyahu comes to visit and we give him a standing ovation. It's a bit insane, macabre, and ridiculous. This is a reality. This has been talked about since even before 2014. This is a known history of this country. And this is my key point just at the end of the segment here. One man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter. And drawing the line between the two is a bit ridiculous, a bit absurd. And I'll quote my president when it comes to this. You think we're so innocent? That's what Trump says. You think we're so innocent. So whenever we talk about these wars, these conflicts, these engagements, and we talk about it from a moral perspective, right? Like there's some moral reason to be at combat, some moral reason to be at war. We are always allied with the devil, right? Because no one's interests are pure. When we talk about great powers, everyone has to do something in order to make their existing line of governance stick. And our existing line of governance is murder and terrorism across the wider world with our over 700 military bases. And we tend to get in bed with the worst people that either want to genocide and build greater Israel or want to genocide the ethnic Russians and have the Azov Battalion Banderite version of Ukraine. So we're going to be getting into all of that coming up very, very soon. I want to plug myself here. This is going to be a very, very good stream. It already has been. Michael Yon. And of course, Joe Kent Ron before about to be joined by Andrew Wilson of The Crucible, very well-known online debater as well. And, just all around internet personality and guy. You've definitely seen him before. I do want to tell you it's Rex Jones News with the Z. That's Rex Jones News with the Z. If you want to find me on X or on Instagram, that's available for you. I do a show called Gray Area Talks. That's every Thursday and Sunday. That's for me and Andrew. Did our first thing. And I also do New American Journal. In the morning, I got a link tree right there. If you want to click on that, a link tree right there. And you can go to New American Journal and you can follow that on Rumble. I'm live 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. literally every single day. I really enjoy going live for you guys. And even this week when I've been hosting in the studio here, I have been having some buddies of mine, of course, local comedian Jack Hemphill and others. I've been having them host for me. So we're trying to do the network TV thing, trying to build a network, build a site. I'm live between 3 to 6 hours a day. I got a 31-hour week, and I really am appreciative of everyone that's here for this. It's going to be very, very fun. So I'll see you after the break with more news, more information. We do want to cover Sam Altman. We do want to cover AOC. We have more Ilhan Omar news, which you got to cover Ilhan Omar. I got to talk about her. So I will be talking about her at some point in the broadcast. Maybe Harrison will later on in the show because we do want to see that covered. And I do want to remind you one last time, thealexjonesstore.com. is the place to go if you want to support what we do here. If you want to find that right there, that's thealexjonesstore.com. I will see you after the break and after these messages with Andrew Wilson. Take care. Peace out. See you soon.
Jones is off the air.
There's a lot of noise right now.
Taking me off the air. It is beyond essential that you continue to spread the word about the broadcast and continue to support us.
That's usually when it matters most to have people in your corner who don't flinch. We've been a partner of this program and of Alex's for a long time.
I'm handing out ice water in the Sahara. I mean, it is such the top rated, the biggest company because they're the best. And he's a patriot.
We're not going anywhere, and that commitment runs to you. Here's the part that matters. With us, it's 8% when you buy and 0% when you sell. And here's something else. After you make your first purchase and become a client, if you're holding metals you bought somewhere else, bring them to us. We'll help you liquidate them. No commission. That means even if you didn't originally buy them from us, we'll still take care of you. That's not a promotion. It's not something that's for a limited time only. That's just the way we do business. Give us a call and we'll bend over backwards to help you.
Visit kepm.com/gold to get started, or give us a call at 720-605-3900 and let us help you make room for what matters most.
Spot price, price of the metal in the ground. Miners haven't even touched it yet. Then they pull the metal out of the ground, they dig their tunnels, they drive it to the refinery, they melt it down, make it into a coin or a bar. That's wholesale. That's usually 3-5% over spot. We charge 8% on top of wholesale. When you liquidate, we charge zero.
Buy gold and silver bullion at wholesale. You can look every day what the price is, type in what's wholesale gold and silver, and then you get it from them with a little processing fee, and then they buy it back for nothing with no cost. That's unprecedented. It's so easy. KPM.com/gold. Get a free telephone consultation, email. You call 720-605-3900, 720-605-3900.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.